It's City Desk, news and views from City Hall Biloxi. And now the host of our program, City Desk, Public Affairs Manager for the City of Biloxi, Mr. Vincent Creel. Good morning, Mr. Creel.
Good morning, William Sackett. We are recording this program on Thursday, October 25th, and it's 10:36 in the morning here at Biloxi City Hall. And joining me after a week-long sabbatical is Cecilia Dobbs-Walton, Public Affairs Specialist for the City of Biloxi.
Good morning.
You jumped right into it yesterday, and I'm going to hit you with it again. What's going on with the Sanger Theater?
The Sanger Theater, they are continuing to work on repairs for the Sanger Theater. I know it's been kind of a long process, but there is a process to go through. Plus, the city wants to make sure that everything is done correct. What they have done is they have reviewed the outside of what repairs that are needed. In addition to that, they had to go in and find out what the structure was made up of. There was not a lot of good detailed information that was on file. Remember, the building was built in like 1929. We've had storms and hurricanes and stuff like that, so they had to go and research and find detailed information, and then they also had to actually go in and find out what the structure was made of. So that has taken us a while.
In that research, did they find anything like historical, old switches, papers, documents, marquees, old letters? I mean, that place is old.
No old letters, but they did find some old, they were talking about some old information like that. So they've done all that. So now where they're at right now is they are, the engineers and architects are working with the history and archives to find out what materials they can use to make these repairs. They also see the need for repair to the fly tower, which is the back part, the kind of taller back part. I'm not good at directions.
What the fly tower is whenever you go see a production and they're changing the sets, when they raise those sets high up in the air, that's where they go, into the fly tower.
And they see that that part needs the most immediate attention. So they're going to work on repairing that. Of course, once they get the word on what materials to use, hopefully bids will go out around the end of this year. Work will start in the beginning of the next year and be complete sometime next year.
An abstract question, but related. That used to be a world-class, premier, Sanger Brothers motion picture house. And there's still holes in the wall in the back, etc. Are they thinking about restoring that you can actually show movies?
Well, actually what they did is through the research, they found a lot of old newspaper articles and photographs of what the outside and the inside looked like back then in the 1920s and 1930s. Mm-hmm. So they're going to do their best to restore what they can the best to that era. But then once they repair that fly tower, then they're going to go out for bids to repair the outside work, which we've talked about that before. That's just sealing the brick and repairing that in the roof and the HVAC on the roof to repair that. And that will hopefully go out to bid sometime next year. Then, of course, once they complete that, then they've got to work on the inside, but they got to go through the process of evaluating what needs to be done, then going out for bids, and then working on that part. So it is a long process. The city, the engineers, the architects knows that it is, but we want to make sure that it is done right and that it will be able to be useful for years to come.
And we want to make sure people know that it's not just sitting over there. There is work going on. Just because you can't see it, that is because they have to do the specifications. Mm. Cecilia brought the specifications for construction and then go out for bids. And everything along every step of the way, as Cecilia noted, has to be approved by the Mississippi Department of Archives and History, since that Sanger is on the National Register of Historic Places. One interesting thing that came up in the wake of Katrina, whenever the city went to make repairs to the inside of the Biloxi Lighthouse. The Biloxi Lighthouse is a cast iron structure, but inside the tunnel, the tube, is it's lined with bricks. And the issue was they couldn't just go buy bricks off the shelf. And the reason they couldn't use today's style bricks is because they are heavier. They are bigger. So if you were to replace parts of the wall inside the lighthouse with bricks made today, they would crush the other bricks because of the weight.
Right.
So they had to be careful in what materials they use, which is another part of the Sanger process. So it's time consuming, and it's something that's frustrating for people, because the Gulf Coast Symphony Orchestra is a great example. They were supposed to start their season in September in the Sanger. They started their season in September, but they were not in the Sanger. John McFarland, our good friend who is the executive director of the Gulf Coast Symphony, said it's like a football team playing every game as an away game. So we appreciate everyone's patience.
And also, the city does have other facilities, such as the Biloxi Visitor Center, the Donald Snyder Center, the Frank Grudge Community Center, that they have open for other groups that usually use the Sanger, where they can still have their events in Biloxi and in those spaces as well.
And remember, folks, when this is done with the amount of fastidious detail, you're going to have a landmark, a benchmark. You have a slice of Americana as a showplace no one else will have.
Goes back to the vaudeville era, I think 1929, yes. So one of the ways that we're going to pay for this is the mayor's been looking for archives and history money. He's been looking for grant money. We thought we had some federal money tied up for it, but the federal money was ruled as ineligible for that. Even though federal money had been used before, there's been a change in that determination. But right now, Mayor Gilich is proposing to the members of the city council that the city consider borrowing $14 million to keep major projects moving that we have underway right now. We're talking about bricks and mortar stuff, and we're talking about design and engineering. A large portion of the $14 million, and that figure's like $5.5 million, would be spent in Woolmarket on water, sewer, drainage, sidewalks, etc. This goes in line with the promises that the city made so long ago to upgrade all levels of the community to city-level services that they expect and deserve. There also in that $14 million bond is repairs to the Cedar Lake Bridge. The Cedar Lake Bridge, It can't handle fire trucks right now. It can't handle the weighty vehicles that may need to go across that Cedar Lake Bridge. Oh. The Cedar Lake Bridge is at the Cedar Lake exit, go north, probably about 2 or 3 miles. It's what is known as a swing bridge. You know, it's kind of cantilevered on a huge structure, and the bridge swings open when boats come. It's a low-lying bridge. Fortunately, it does not have to move or open a lot for marine traffic. The mayor's also looking at using some of the $14 million for upgrades of the Main Street rail crossing. One important thing to know about the $14 million is that a share of that $14 million is the city's 20% match to get 80% in federal money. So some of it is tied up in that. The Main Street crossing is a great example of that. Woolmarket sidewalks is another great example of that. $2 million of the $14 million is allotted to the Sanger Theater to keep that work going on. In the past, we've talked about the new Pops Ferry Bridge we would like to see one day. We've talked about the pending, because it is going to be happening, the extension of Pops Ferry Road all the way down to Highway 90. We've got design engineers who are looking at the right-of-way we need to buy. They are all making steps on these big projects. Even though they're years away, even though we don't have the funding for the overall project, you still have to keep it moving and get it bid ready, it's called, to where it's ready to go out for bids. When we do secure that money, we want to be ready to go. So last year at the State of the City, we made a big deal about happening now. Well, as Mike Leonard said, we want to be able to say happening tomorrow as well. That's one of the reasons that the mayor is looking to move forward with this. A $14 million bond, borrowing $14 million, would require no tax increase. The money to pay it back is already in the budget. The money for the debt service, it's called, can handle a $14 million bond. It is also well below our capacity for borrowing. So what they're looking to do is just keep projects moving. So the mayor unveiled this or announced it to the city council on Tuesday, and Mike Leonard had also given him a memo about here's what we're looking to do. It seemed like it was well received by the city council.
It did. They were very interested in it, and they all were talking about projects that could happen in their ward. So they were very, very interested in this moving forward. So then they just wanted to workshop to go through and see exactly what details and what projects they were going to be spending that money on.
The devil's always in the details. And what they want to know is, with some, as David Stalin used to say, they want specificity. specificity on how this money is going to be spent.
For me.
Right. And then there's also going to be some issues that they have in their individual wards, which is why $3 million of the 14 is set aside for that. When you start throwing these numbers around, $5.5 million in Wool Market, $3 million for citywide work, $2 million for the Sanger, you get up to $14 million pretty fast. I don't think that this work will complete any one of these. For instance, it won't complete the Pops Ferry extension, but it will keep it moving. It won't complete the Pops Ferry Bridge, which is the latest figure I heard was about $80 million. But it does the preliminary work that must be done to be ready to go whenever the money arrives. So all of this that we talked about on this special bond issue that they're looking at, which requires no vote except for the city council, that is going to be discussed Tuesday at 1:30. What's Tuesday's date, Cecilia?
It's October the 30th.
October 30th at 1:30. It's going to be a public meeting. And you can see all the details of this. It's in a one-page document on the city's website. Listed all right there for you. Shows what's 80-20 and shows you the exact information the city council members were given. What else?
Well, we got a couple things going on. In the Parks and Recreation Department, the Biloxian Auditorium will close tomorrow, Friday, October the 26th, and be closed on Saturday as well, October the 27th. So repairs can be made to the vents inside the pool. They're going to have to drain the water a little bit so that the, the workers can go in there and make their repairs. But they're going to open back up on Monday, I believe the 29th, at their normal hours. They open 8 to 5 Monday through Friday.
You used to work over there in a previous lifetime. How deep is that pool?
It's 13 feet. And the shallow end is 4 feet. The deep end is 13 feet. So, and it's an Olympic-sized swimming pool with a retractable roof, and one of the only ones in the area of that size with a retractable roof. There's swim teams. The city of Biloxi has a Biloxi Elite Swim Team. We have a summer red tide swim team. We also have swim lessons that are offered all year round. And, of course, it's also open to the public throughout the week and currently on Saturdays right now while they have enough staff to open it then. Also happening this weekend, Friday and tomorrow, October the 26th, the Parks and Recreation Department will hold their annual Special Needs Halloween Costume Ball. That'll be at the Donald Snyder Community Center on Pass Road from 6 to 9. It's free and it's open to everyone with physical and mental disabilities, and there will also be awards for a costume contest. Get a little tongue-tied there, a lot of C's. Also Saturday, then on Saturday, the East Biloxi Senior Center on Parker Street in Biloxi, which is kind of a partnership between Harrison County and the Parks and Recreation Senior Programs. They're going to be having a craft fair Saturday from 9 to 2. Then also on Saturday, Biloxi XL by 5 will have their annual event, Take a Trip to Wonderland. It'll be Saturday, October the 27th from 10 to 11:45 a.m. at the Lopez School. There'll be arts and crafts. There'll be tea party with Alice and the Mad Potter. And this is open to ages 5 and younger, and it is free. And then just a couple things to note. We had a couple changes this week. Our 12th annual historic Old Biloxi Cemetery tour was supposed to happen this week, but because of the weather, and they have moved their second and last tour of this year's tours on Tuesday, October the 30th from 5 to 7 p.m. That's free. And then one more thing, we also, I believe it was supposed to happen today, was supposed to be the last of the Biloxi Community Market Festival for this season. It's a pumpkin palooza fun event, and that has moved to Thursday, November the 1st, and it's from 9 to 1 downtown where the Biloxi Community Market is off Howard Avenue under I-110. And that is free to attend, and they're going to have a lot of pumpkin activities. They're going to have someone from Mississippi State making wreaths. So there'll be a lot of fun and happening going on. But all that information is on our website at biloxi.ms.us.
One last thing about a story we just posted on the city website. I know that people have had some traffic issues down by Kivett and 90, where the new pedestrian overpass is being built to connect the north side of the highway to the south side. That would be right south of MGM Park. We're going to be doing the same thing over here at Main Street, probably in the second week in November. the contractor is going to have intermittent lane closures. They've only been allowed 6 hours at a time to close the lanes over here by Main Street. So it's going to be a time-consuming thing, but the closures are limited to 9 to 3 every day.
What are they doing?
What we're going to be doing, I'm sorry, is building the new pedestrian overpass that's going to be connecting essentially the two hotels over there, the Hilton Garden Inn and the Watermark, with the harbor, and vice versa. People who are at the Hard Rock and the Beau Rivage, if they want to use either one of the crosswalks, in about 9 to 10 months, we are going to have a lane closure over there, because that's when they're going to be bringing in the crane that's going to bring in the structure that goes over the roadway. But we're asking people to please be sure to use caution when you're over there by Main Street. You will notice when you're passing by, they have already set up the construction site to show where the pedestrian overpass is going to be landing on the south side, and on the north side, it's going to be between the two hotels. This all goes back to what the city has said for years. We need to make it easier for people to come from the south side of the highway to the north side. Right. And with the new Howard Avenue and the new renderings of the Bark Building that are making the rounds,
wonderful.
We are giving people a reason to come up here, something that catches their attention with all the development that we've seen. And when I talk about development, I'm talking about the Fuji restaurant. I'm talking about the Half Shell. I'm talking about the Cafe Beignet. We're talking about the Sandbar over there on Howard Avenue. When's Howard Avenue going to open?
That's a good question.
Howard Avenue is the contractor had a deadline and a goal to finish the bricking on Howard Avenue to go from Raynor all the way down to Lemieux. He's got about 4 more feet to go, but before he finishes that, he has to do some infrastructure work right there at the corner of Lemieux and Howard. Right there, between the People's Bank and Elsie's Hardware, right in the middle of the road there. So that's why Howard Avenue, although it looks like it's finished, that's why it has not been opened yet. But I'm saying look at it now before the traffic gets in there and spills oil and everything else on it, because it looks beautiful. Anything else, or are we done?
Just make sure you go to the City of Biloxi's website to find out anything. We also have a Facebook page. We have a YouTube page that shows all the council videos and other videos such as infrastructure work. Again, all that's on our website at biloxi.ms.us.
And you are now working for the City of Biloxi, I understand?
Oh, yeah. I'm administrative liaison for the Biloxi Police Department, working with the chief. Most honored and most humbled.
And I understand you're going to be chasing some grant money for the city.
Yeah, we're running after dollars and cents, and as well as doing maybe some media, doing et cetera, and still interfacing with Vincent and Celia, so I'm happy to be here. You've been listening to City Desk, news and views from City Hall, with your host, Public Affairs Manager for the City of Biloxi, Mr. Vincent Creel. This is William Sackett speaking.